Let us offer our most reverential and prayerful salutations at the lotus feet of our most beautiful, beloved Bhagwan. Dearest Lord, please fill us with the beauty of your form, with the beauty of your name, and the beauty of your messages every moment of our lives, and let us strive to beautify our lives with your love and your message. With this prayer, let's move on and welcome to this new episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. The bhajan we are going to learn today goes something like this.
Murali Manohar Shyam Murari.
So this is the first line, and like in every episode of this program, we will start with getting familiar with the lyrics of the bhajan, and then we'll move on to the tune, the raga, the beat of the bhajan, and then we'll listen to the feeling with which this bhajan should be sung. We will listen to the reflections of Brother Balram Chandran, a former student of Bhagwan's university, who currently regularly sings in Sundaram, Bhagwan's abode in Chennai. So let's get started with the lyrics.
Murali Manohara Shyam Murari Gopala Sai Gopala Gopala Sai Gopala Radha Lola Hare Giridhari Gopala Sai Gopala Gopala Sai Gopala.
Now that we are familiar with the lyrics, let's move on to the tune of this bhajan. You will now listen to Brother Ravi Kumar and Anirudh give us a slow demonstration of how this bhajan flows.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale E Pancham.
Murali Manohara Shyam Murari. Murali Manohara Shyam Murari.
Murali Manohara Shyam Murari.
Murali Manohara Shyam Murari.
Gopala Sai Gopala.
Gopala Sai Gopala.
Gopala Sai Gopala.
Gopala Sai Gopala.
Radha Lola Hare Giridhari.
Radha Lola Hare Giridhari.
Radha Lola Hare Giridhari.
Radha Lola Hare Giridhari.
Gopala Sai Gopala.
Gopala Sai Gopala.
Gopala Sai Gopala.
Gopala Sai Gopala.
Murali Manohara Shyam Murari.
Brother Ravi Kumar and Anirudh gave us a slow demonstration of this melodious bhajan. And now for those of us who are keen students of music, let us learn about the raga of this bhajan. What are the swaras that make this bhajan? Anirudh is here with us in the studios. So tell us, Anirudh, what are your thoughts on the make of this bhajan?
Sairam Vishu.
Sairam.
This beautiful bhajan is composed in the rag Sindh Bhairavi, in the both streams of music. It's a very well-known, popular, yet another raga, like Darbari. Of course, Darbari is since most of the bhajans are based on Darbari, I can say, the minor bhajans. But in Sindh Bhairavi also, there are many, many, plenty of bhajans composed. And it's a very, very powerful, meditative, soulful raga. You have almost all the notes in this raga. That's the beauty of it. And all the notes do not come at one go. So it comes as a typical small, small phrases here and there. So let me just show you how in the Arohana and Avarohana we have this typically the Sindh Bhairavi phrases, which makes it so melodious.
Sure.
Sa re. The re is Komal re. Ga. Komal ga.
Ma pa da pa da.
Komal dha.
Da ni.
Komal ni.
Sa ni da pa ma ga. Ga.
So this is the basic set of swaras which form Sindh Bhairavi.
Sa re ga ma pa da ni sa di da pa ma ga re sa sa ga ma da pa.
So now let's get on to the phrases.
Sa ga ma da pa da ma pa da pa ma ma pa da ni sa ga re.
This is Shudri.
Re ga ma re,
which is a Komal re.
Re ga ma re sa da ni sa da ya da pa.
Yet another beautiful phrase consisting of both Shuddh and Komal notes is
dha ni sa da pa. Da
is Shuddha Da.
Da is Da.
Da is Komal Da.
Da Pa.
So when I sing this Shuddha Da, I am reminded of
Ashrita Dina Janavan Ranga.
So it's a beautiful, if you see the chord ways, it's like a major minor.
Da re re re.
Using this phrase, that is
Re Shudri Ga Ma Re Sa.
So we have yet another bhajan.
Shyam Sundara Hari Govinda Bolo. Govinda Bolo Hari Gopal Bolo. Shyam Sundara Hari Govinda Bolo. Hari bol, hari bol, hari hari bol. Mukunda Madhava Govinda bol. Raghunandana Raghava Rama Hari.
And the list goes on and on. We have plenty of bhajans in Sindh Bhairavi.
Really, it's such a beautiful raga. And as you said, there are so many bhajans in this raga. I knew that it would be nice if we just immerse ourselves a little more in the raga. If we can do an alap, it would be very beautiful.
Yeah, I also love this raga and love to do the alap. So this time let me try something in the 7 beat.
Okay.
With the help of the tabla by Anand.
Okay.
Da-ya-na.
Ba.
Relishing the beauty of this raga, but let's move on to this bhajan. So can we do the swaras for every line?
Yeah, let's take the first line.
Murali Manohara Shama Murari Sapa pa pa pada pada mama Dani sadani pa
Sapa pa pa pada pada mama Dani sadani pa
Gopala sai Gopala Ma pada pamaga mada pama
Ma pada pamaga mada pama
Gopala sai Gopala Sagama padama gare re gare sa
Sagama padama gare re gare sa
Radha lola hare giridhari Sa sa ni da ma ma da ni sa da ni pa
Sa sa ni da ma ma da ni sa da ni pa
In the second time we have a variation.
Radha lola Hare Giridhari Sa Sa Ni Da Ma Ma Da Ni Ga Sa Da Ni Pa
Sa Sa Ni Da Ma Ma Da Ni Ga Sa Da Ni Pa.
The next two lines have the same set of swaras as the second and the third line.
So shall we move on in this bhajan classroom and learn the beat of the bhajan?
Yes, the beat of this bhajan is 8-beat, Aditalam in the Carnatic classical music, Keherva in the Hindustani classical music. The count is 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1.
Murali Manohar Shama Murari
Manohar Shyam Murari
Gopala Sai Gopala
Gopala Sai Gopala
Gopala Sai Gopala
Gopala Sai Gopala.
Really, the bhajan is so melodious, you don't want to actually stop singing, but we have to stop somewhere.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Aniruddha and Anand.
Thank you,
Vishu. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
So with the raga and the tala explanation done, it's time to move on to the aspect of bhava. And now we have Brother Balram Chandran, a former student of Bhagwan's university, someone who had the privilege to sing in the divine physical presence for the 5 years during his student days in Prashantinilam and Vrindavan, and now sings regularly at Bhagwan's abode in Chennai, Sundaram. So let's hear his reflections.
Dear Swami, loving pranams at your lotus feet. By Swami's grace, I've received yet another opportunity to ruminate on a bhajan sung in his praise, this time describing him as Sai Krishna. Krishna, the Giridhari, the one who lifted the mountain. Krishna, the Radha Lola. Krishna, the Gopala. Radha represents the gopis and the gopalas. You know, the cowherds in the cowherd is the Vrindavan. And the go or the cow represents all the cows of Vrindavan. So collectively, they actually refer to everybody who was there in Vrindavan, the companions of Krishna in Vrindavan. And you have Krishna who actually lifted the mountain to protect, to offer protection, to save, to remove the troubles of the dwellers of Vrindavan. That's one aspect of Krishna. Now the other aspect of Krishna is Krishna, the one who is Shama, the one who is dark in color, the one who has the complexion of the rain clouds. Now these are two aspects of Krishna which I hope to ruminate on when I talk about this particular bhajan. First, let's talk about the Krishna who is the Giridhari, the one who lifted the mountain to remove the troubles of the gopis, the gopalas and the goes, the cowherds, the cowherdesses and the cattle, who are actually part of Vrindavan, who are his companions in Vrindavan. Now when I talk about this, my mind goes to a very enchanting story which Bhagavan narrated to us. You know, in those days in Vrindavan, I believe that the gopis and the gopalas, in fact not the gopalas, the gopis, the cowherdesses, would actually go to the Yamuna to fetch water for their household requirements. And naturally in those days, they would carry water in earthen pots. Now they would go and fetch water from the river, and then, you know, naturally they had multiple pots. You need water for the entire day. So they would have to place these pots onto the head. Essentially, they would load it onto their head. And that's not an easy task, especially if you've got multiple pots. So, you know, it would really help if somebody was there to place these pots on your head, to load these pots onto your head. So the poor gopis would look around for help, and generally the entire Yamuna banks would be deserted, but for one person there, and that would be Krishna. So you find Krishna there, and Krishna would be merrily playing on his flute, and they would actually look at Krishna and say, Krishna, can you please help us load the pot onto our head? And Bhagavan says that at that point of time, Krishna would play out his enchanting smile and shake his head saying, no, I will not. And as he shook his head, you know, those beautiful, lovely locks of hair which he has on his head would also shake. And he would say, no, with an enchanting smile. Now, naturally, the gopis are left without help, so they would have to fend for themselves. So what they would do is they would, with a lot of trouble, lift the pots and place it on their head. And they would, you know, go all the way home. Now, what happens when they reach home? When they reach home, they would find Krishna standing there already. And what would Krishna do? Even without the requesting for it, they would, you know, Krishna would run forward and then take the pot off the head and unload the pot off the head. So remember, Krishna never would, you know, despite their asking, would not load the pot onto the head. But unasked, he would take upon himself the task of unloading the pot from the head of the gopis. Now this was a regular procedure, this happened every day. And one day, one of the gopis actually asked Krishna, said, Krishna, what is this strange behavior? We ask you every day for help. We ask you to load these pots onto our head, but you don't. But even when we don't even ask, voluntarily, every day you appear before a house and you unload the pot off our head. So why do you do this, Krishna? What's the meaning of this strange behavior? And then Bhagavan says, Krishna smiled at the gopis and said, O gopis, please understand, I do not wish to load the head of my devotees. I will never add a load onto the head of my devotee, but I am ever eager to remove the weight, remove the load from atop the head of my devotee. What a beautiful message. So when you talk of Krishna the Giridhari, the one who lifts the mountain, you know, I am reminded of Krishna who lifted the pot, you know, from the head of the gopis. Because he was ever eager to do that, and he would do that to alleviate suffering. He would do that to remove sorrow. He would do that to offer protection. Krishna the Giridhari, who did that to protect his companions, to remove the sorrow of his companions, to wipe away the tears of his companions of Vrindavan, the gopis, the gopikas, and the cows of Vrindavan, the cattle of Vrindavan. Now that's one beautiful aspect of Krishna. Let's look at the other aspect of Krishna. Krishna, the one who is Shyama. You know, Shyama is the one who is dark in color. The one who is dark in color is Shyama. Now, why is Krishna dark in color? That's a very interesting thought. There are various theories of why Krishna is dark in color. In fact, they say that he was the color of the rain clouds. One explanation which comes to mind, and if I remember correctly, this was an explanation which was given by the great saint Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa. He said that, see, when you look at the ocean or the sea from far away, from far away, or water from far away, it is colorless. But as you approach it, when you get close to it, when you, you know, what happens is also, or rather when you look at it from far away, you actually have, it has the appearance of a blue color, but when you actually get close to it, it is colorless. Okay, so God has got two aspects. Now, God has got the formless, the nirguna aspect, and God has got the saguna aspect, you know, the one with gunas, and the one where he is, you know, beyond the gunas, but is yet the basis of the gunas, the saguna and the nirguna. Now, when you look at it from far away, you see him as dark, you know, you see him as this darkish blue color, which is what Krishna's complexion was, the shyama varna, just like the sea appears blue when you see from far away. You know, anyway, get close to him, of course, you don't see it, you see just the nirguna aspect. But you know, it's very beautiful to see him from far away, because then you get to see his beautiful dark-colored form. Krishna, the one who is dark in color. The one who is the color of the rain clouds. You know what the rain clouds do? The rain clouds rain, and that's why they are called rain clouds, as we know. You know, when you talk of Krishna as the rain clouds, my mind goes to a beautiful poem, which is in my own native language, you know, my native language in the part of India I come from. Now, in this poem, that poet actually says, And this poem is actually addressed to the dark rain clouds. The poet says, "O dark rain cloud, when you appear upon the sky, your dark color reminds me of my dark colored complexion, my dark colored Lord, my dark complexion Lord, Krishna, who is dark in color. So, O rain cloud, when I see you in the sky, your color reminds me of my own Lord, Krishna, who is dark in color. And when I am reminded of my Lord Krishna, who is dark in color, my heart fills with pain. My heart fills with pain caused by the pangs of separation from him. My heart fills with pain because I am not able to see my dark colored beautiful Lord. But your color reminds me of my dark colored Lord. And when I see you, I am reminded of my Lord. And when I am reminded of my Lord, my heart fills with pain caused by the pangs of separation from him. And those pangs of separation lead my eyes to well up with tears, just like the Yamuna wells up with water." Now that's what comes to mind when you talk of, you know, Krishna as Shyama. Isn't it interesting? On one side you have Krishna who removes tears, who removes trouble, who removes sorrows, who wipes away tears. On the other side, you have Krishna who causes tears. Interesting dichotomy, and that's what, you know, makes Swami or Sai Krishna an enigma. You know, this beautiful dichotomy that he represents. Again, it was, I think, Sri Ramakrishna, when he visited Vrindavan, he said, "O Krishna, the sun still sets, the Yamuna still flows, the cattle still come back home, and they are herded by the Gopalas, the cowherds. Even now in Vrindavan, O Krishna, I see the Yamuna, I see the cattle, I see the sun setting. I see all of this even now, O Krishna. The trees are still there, O Krishna, and if one listens to carefully Krishna, we can still hear the sound of the flute. I see the Yamuna, I see the cattle, I see all of this, but O Krishna, only you are missing." And that thought caused Sri Ramakrishna to go into Bhava Samadhi. In fact, his eyes would well up with tears caused by the pangs of separation. I think we can also talk about a very similar story. When we talk of Parthi, we can say, "O Krishna, O Swami, the Sai Kulwant Hall is still there. The Vedam is still chanted. Everything in Parthi is exactly the same. The floral decoration is still there. The bhajan still happen. The program still happen. And you also are there, O Swami. You also are verily there. You are there. The place is so full of you. You are there everywhere. But my poor eyes are not able to see you. And that causes our eyes to well up with tears. Krishna, the Giridhari, who removes tears. And Krishna, the Shyamavarna, who causes tears." What a beautiful dichotomy. And what a beautiful enigma that our Sai Krishna is. And that's what, you know, these are these two aspects which we get to examine through this beautiful, beautiful bhajan. And to end this discussion, you know, in this bhajan, here Krishna is talked about as the Lord of the gopis, the gods and the gopalas. Essentially, he is not just the Lord. In fact, he is the companion. Or rather, we are his companion. There are various ways of associating with the Lord, linking with the Lord. And I think one beautiful, beautiful, beautiful way to think of our association with the Lord is to think of ourselves as the companion of the Lord. To think of the Lord as our companion and to think of ourselves as the companion of the Lord. In a way, I think we are all eternal companions of our Lord. And our prayer to our Lord could be this. We could say, "Swami, whenever you come, Swami, let it happen that we are always your companions, we are always your playmates. Moksha doesn't really matter to us, Swami. Because who wants moksha? We want to be born again and again and again and again and again. Each time you come, Swami. Because may we always remember, may we always aspire to become your companions, the companions of the eternal Lord, and may we become your eternal companions." Jai Sai Ram.
That was Brother Balram Chandran, an alumnus of Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, a member of the Prashanti Mandir Bhajan Group during his student days, and currently a member of the Sundaram Bhajan Group in Chennai. With that, let's move on to the last part of this classroom. We will now listen to the complete version of this bhajan as it is sung in the Prashanthi Nilayam Mandir by the students of Bhagwan's University.
To the end of the current episode of Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom. If you have any queries or comments, as always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. With heart full of gratitude, we offer this endeavor at the Lotus Feet for most beautiful, beloved Bhagwan.